Good afternoon. It is 4:30 and 79 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Logan Pemberton.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
That we're really looking for kids who have great minds, obviously, but also are going to be leaders in our state.
The Governor's Scholars Program is underway at MSU.
A body has been found in Bath County.
Flemingsburg has amended its current budget.
Bridges across the Commonwealth will undergo rehabilitation.
State legislators are looking to legalize sports betting.
In sports, the Reds start the series with the Tigers tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A chance of showers, partly cloudy, and a low around 69. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police have identified a body found near a park in Bath County. According to WKYT, the body was identified as Louis D. Clark. Clark's body was found near the furnace in the Bath County Park, south of I-64 on Kentucky 36. Investigators say Clark was in his mid-40s. According to the coroner, the cause of death is still unknown and under investigation.
A McGoffin County man claiming to be Jesus has been arrested. According to WYMT, the McGoffin County Sheriff's Office responded to calls of a man lying naked outside of someone's home. Once at the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center, the man was identified as Austin Johnson. Deputies say Johnson appeared to be under the influence of drugs. Johnson was charged with burglary, indecent exposure, criminal trespassing, criminal mischief, public intoxication, and providing police false identifying information.
A suspect has been indicted for a Martin County triple murder, but the father of one victim says he has unanswered questions. Micah Sammons, Derek James, and Amber Lockard were all killed in a shooting in March. Suspect Lance Ward is charged with 3 counts of murder and robbery. Anthony Sammons, Micah Sammons' father, tells WYMT he believes more people were involved in the crime. He says there is no way Ward could have done it on his own.
I have letters from Lance, emails from Lance. You know, I mean, anybody you talk to about Lance says he wouldn't harm a fly.
Kentucky State Police continue to investigate, though troopers say all signs point toward Ward.
One Maysville man is in the hospital, and another has been arrested after a shooting. According to the Ledger Independent, police responded to reports of a shooting Friday at an apartment on Vine Street. One man, 19-year-old Jacob Kiskaden, was taken to a hospital with a gunshot wound to the chest. Another, 19-year-old Cameron Gibbs, is charged with first-degree burglary and contempt of court. Police say Gibbs was shot in both hands. The Maysville Police Department continues to investigate.
We'll have more news after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies, and cookies, scones, braids, and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Moorhead State University has chosen Dr. Francis Helfenstein to receive the 2018 Founders Award for University Service. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Helfenstein will be presented with the award during MSU's homecoming banquet on October 19th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Helfenstein has taught in the English department since 1966, focusing on English Renaissance and dramatic literature. She has also served on several committees for the university, including the National Council for Teachers of English. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan says the community would be hard-pressed to name a commencement event in the last 50 years Helfenstein has not attended. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Kentucky's Governor Scholars Program is underway again at Moorhead State University. For the next 5 weeks, the top scholars in the Commonwealth will be involved in intensive academic work and other activities on the MSU campus. Brian Rich is the university's campus director for GSP. He says one of the program's goals is to challenge the young men and women in it from just an educational standpoint.
They have to be leaders, so they're involved in a variety of activities. We really value the leadership experience. You know, it's great to be on four sports teams, but it's also great to be the captain of one of them, or a shift leader at work, or you started a club in your school, or you're the secretary of the National Honor Society. So those are the kind of things that we're really looking for kids who have great minds, obviously, but also are going to be leaders in our state.
Rich says the most important aspect of GSP is to build a relationship between the scholars and the state.
Almost a ton of trash was collected during last weekend's Ohio River sweep in Ashland. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Almost 50 volunteers showed up Saturday to help clean up Riverfront Park in Ashland. Boy Scouts Troop 1100 leader Roy Dillon told the Daily Independent it was the largest turnout in the event's history. Each year, thousands of volunteers from nonprofit groups, businesses, clubs, and the general public gather along the banks of the Ohio River in six states to remove trash and debris from its waters, shores, and tributaries. The Ohio River starts in Pittsburgh and ends in Cairo, Illinois. During last weekend's sweep, over 22,000 pounds of garbage was collected. Eric Patton of the Fiveco Area Development District says the event is a great opportunity for local residents to give back to their community and keep Ashland Riverfront Park and the river itself looking good as the summer months approach. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Flemingsburg has had to amend its budget for the current fiscal year, which ends July 1st. Mayor Martin Voyer says city council was recently forced to adjust the spending plan after the town's gas department was hit with some unexpected costs.
We had a couple of situations with line repairs that were emergencies that had to be done and were not included in the budget, and some of them were got kind of expensive. So for that reason, we were over in our expenditures in that particular line, and of course, our budget needs to remain balanced, so we had to go in and make an adjustment there.
Flemingsburg's budget had allocated just almost $299,000 for its gas department in 2017-2018. The cost of making the necessary repairs to the gas lines increased that figure to over $378,000. Boyer says rollover funds and increased revenues were used to pay the added $79,000 in expenses.
Nine state lawmakers say they're crafting legislation to legalize sports betting in Kentucky. WUKY's Josh James has more.
In March, the Supreme Court struck down a 1992 law effectively banning commercial sports betting in most states. Now, a contingent of Kentucky lawmakers is seeking to open the door in the Commonwealth. The bipartisan group expects the bill to generate anywhere between $6.5 and $26 million annually. There are no plans as of yet to dedicate the dollars directly to pensions or any other area in need of funding. Opponents contend legalized sports betting is the wrong move to shore up state coffers. Kent Ostrander with the Family Foundation of Kentucky.
The gambling industry walks away with most of the money, and the government gets a pittance.
Despite his stance against casino gambling, Governor Matt Bevin has said he would consider sports betting proposals. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The State Transportation Cabinet is launching a massive program to rehabilitate and replace hundreds of bridges around the Commonwealth. Spokesman Ed Green says about $700 million will be spent on the Bridging Kentucky initiative.
Overall, the program goal, and this is a six-year program, first of all, but overall the program goal is to replace or rehab 1,000 bridges statewide. And we're talking about at least one bridge in every county, so this is a program that will affect all Kentuckians.
While KTC officials are still finalizing which bridges will be rehabbed or rebuilt, they've initially slated 32 of those projects to take place in District 9, which encompasses most of Northeast Kentucky. A quarter of them are in Fleming County. Rowan County has one bridge scheduled to be improved. It's a span over Triplett Creek on Little Perry Road.
The Poor People's Campaign rallied again outside the state capitol building yesterday. According to WKYT, this marks the sixth Monday in a row the group has protested poverty and racism in Frankfort. Campaign members have been blocked from entering the capitol building several times. Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders says the group does have a right to protest in the capitol building, but they aren't following all the guidelines, rather.
We offered them a permit today to come into the Capitol, and they said, we don't need a permit, but yet they've got a permit to protest outside the Capitol. So we're trying to allow them access. We're trying to do everything we can to allow them to peacefully protest. We are all about peaceful protest, but they have to abide by the rules.
The Poor People's Campaign heads to a rally at the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Saturday before returning to Kentucky.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says his push to legalize industrial hemp has seen bipartisan support. The provision was voted through the House committee last week. McConnell spoke on the Senate floor last Thursday.
Our federal government bans domestic hemp production. Never mind that this is a completely different plant than its illicit cousin. Never mind that American consumers are already buying hemp products, everything from clothing to auto parts. They're just imported from foreign producers.
The Kentucky Republican says legalizing hemp would support rural and farming communities.
Trey Grayson, the former Secretary of State, told Spectrum News that Amy McGrath's 6th Congressional District Democratic primary win over Lexington Mayor Jim Gray was the product of well-timed and well-targeted campaign ads, as well as voters seeing her as a political outsider. Grayson says that makes her a major threat to her opponent.
The fact that Mayor Gray was recruited by the National Party and by Congressman Yarmuth added to her story of being an insurgent. And while they didn't differ much on issues for the most part, this story of insurgency versus establishment, or whatever you want to describe it, I can tell you from firsthand that that's, you don't necessarily want to be on the establishment side of a well-funded insurgent candidate.
Grayson admits that the election night decision between McGrath and Republican incumbent Andy Barr will be the first competitive race decision that will take place on election night in November. And because of that, the nation will likely be paying close attention to see if it gives any clues as to how the public is going to be voting.
Representative Andy Barr argues it's time to clean up a patchwork of state laws dealing with the medical treatment of horses. WUKY's Josh James reports.
Barr's Bipartisan Horse Racing Integrity Act seeks to bring horse racing states under one regulatory umbrella when it comes to medicating and monitoring racehorses. Those matters would come before a board, including the chief executive of the United States Anti-Doping Agency, which oversees Olympic sports. It also puts the U.S. in alignment with international standards by banning race day administration of Lasix, a drug that treats pulmonary hemorrhage. While the bill has backing from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, Keeneland, and animal welfare organizations, among others, Andrew Roberts, a former president of the Kentucky Association of Equine Practitioners, has objected to the race day medication ban and wondered aloud whether the bill creates more bureaucracy. Barr says that's not the case.
A national uniform medication program is not about more bureaucracy. Our bill creates a non-governmental anti-doping authority that actually reduces regulations because it replaces 38 different regulatory regimes, state by state, conflicting regulatory regimes, with a single national uniform set of standards.
Barr has not indicated whether the House has any plans to take up the legislation soon. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
University of Kentucky President Eli Capiluto says changes have been finalized to campus regulations dealing with the disciplinary process of allegations that include sexual assault. In an email sent Monday to the campus community, Capiluto said changes are the result of concerns and suggestions from people on campus. He said the goal in implementing the policy is to be fair as well as clear and consistent in applying it. Capiluto says a hearing panel must be unanimous in determining that the policy has been violated. The finding can be appealed, but a finding of not responsible cannot be appealed. He says both sides in a sexual assault claim have the right to an attorney during an investigation and any disciplinary hearing. Capiluto says a preponderance of evidence will continue to be the standard used to determine whether the policy was violated.
Taking a look at your local weather forecast for the week. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, with a low around 69. Wednesday, scattered clouds and a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 4 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 86. Wednesday night, a 70% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Thursday, a 100% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm after noon and a high near 80. And Thursday night, an 80% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 11 p.m., lows around 67 degrees. Current temperatures in the listening area are 87 degrees in Flemingsburg, 91 degrees in Lexington, 86 degrees in Ashland, 88 degrees in Winchester, 92 degrees in Inez, and 79 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
For our feature segment today, citizens in Martin County are hoping to see progress with a decades-old water issue. In the second of a four-part series, WMKY's Leanne Akers looks at the oversight of public utilities.
This is the third Public Service Commission investigation. There was one in 2002, there was another one in 2006, and so in 2016, they took it up again.
That's Nina McCoy, a community activist in Martin County who has been closely following the Martin County Water District's activities for 20 years. McCoy is a retired science teacher and a longtime resident of the Eastern Kentucky community. She says the big problem with seeing improvement with the district lies in which entities have oversight.
The Division of Water is the one who holds them to the standard of health. And we haven't really seen any signs where they're trying to help us. The Public Service Commission, their oversight basically is in how their customers are paying for a product that they can get.
McCoy helped create the Martin County Concerned Citizens Group, and they enlisted the help of Mary Cromer and the Appalachian Citizens Law Center out of Whitesburg.
As a lawyer, she was able to explain to us, this is how you have to approach it. Public Service Commission is not really concerned with the quarterly reports that say we're not in health compliance. They're concerned with the fact that you're losing so much water that it's like our system is not functioning correctly for the consumers.
McCoy says taking a different approach has helped the group move the investigation forward.
This is something where, yes, they might be getting us water, but if it's not drinkable, is that really what the customer would want? And so now we are actually able to help with the investigation.
The Concerned Citizen Group started asking questions before the most recent crisis in January. McCoy says that caused immediate change.
The previous water board actually quit when they found out that the Citizens Group was going to get involved. They just abandoned it. And then a new water board has come on. We have one of the previous board members who was new at the time, and then we have four new members.
The district has secured two grants to help with the water issues.
We have a $3.4 million grant that is from the abandoned mine lands money that is supposed to help us with the problem. We also have a $1.2 million grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission that is so that we can fix some of the leaks in the water.
McCoy says it's important for the new water board to remember the group's history.
What a citizens group is now interested in is oversight for spending of that money. Don't make the same mistakes. We've got the same engineers that we've had for 20 years, and we've got those engineers telling us what to do. And I feel like our engineers need oversight engineers.
On tomorrow's feature segment, we'll discuss the Public Service Commission's current investigation into the Martin County Water District. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
It is 4:48 and 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Logan Pemberton, here with Cody Robinson. We are so glad to have you listening to WMKY News, coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this cloudy Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
the Tigers and Reds. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are back in action tonight. After taking Monday off, the Redlegs host the Detroit Tigers at 7:10 in the first game of an interleague set. The series will give Cincy third baseman Eugenio Suarez a chance to catch up with some of his former Detroit teammates. It's been a good season for Suarez, who with 52 RBIs is second only to Colorado's Trevor Story in the National League in that category.
That's fine because I know I'm right there with the guys and lead the RBIs, and I just try to not pay attention too much about that. I just try working every day and try to help my team and score more position RBIs, and I try to enjoy this moment right now.
24-year-old right-hander Sal Romano pitches tonight for the Reds. He's 3-7 this season with an ERA approaching 6. The Tigers will go with 4-4, Matthew Boyd. Morehead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the committee charged with finding a new Eagle softball coach has a pretty good idea of what it's looking for. Hutchinson says that group wants a leader who can turn the program into a consistent winner in OVC play.
It's going to be important for us to see what we have in terms of energy and excitement and then just someone that's convincing in their ability to say, you know, this is our program, and I want to take it and run with it. And so there, you can go at that with a lot of different angles. I'm not set on a model, certainly, but when we've been looking at candidates, those are the kinds of things that we've been trying to listen for.
MSU wants to have a new softball coach hired by July the 1st. The school needs to replace David Williams, whose contract was not renewed after 7 seasons on the job. Williams' overall record was 157, 191, and 1, including a 65 and 98 mark in OVC action. The University of Kentucky has announced its 2018 Hall of Fame inductees. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has details.
The class is headlined by former basketball All-American Anthony Davis. In his one season at UK, Davis was named the National Player of the Year, National Defensive Player of the Year, First Team All-American, and the Final Four's Most Outstanding Player, all while leading the Wildcats to the 2012 National Championship. Other members include former football star and Super Bowl-winning tight end Jacob Tammy, women's basketball star Victoria Dunlap, golfer Russ Cochran, SEC tennis champion Eric Quigley, and his coach Dennis Emery. The 6-member class will be inducted during Hall of Fame weekend, September 21st and 22nd, in conjunction with the Wildcats' home football game versus Mississippi State. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State football team is expected to announce its 2018 class of signees in the coming days. Coach Rob Tenier is pleased with what he and his assistants were able to accomplish on the recruiting trail.
We really targeted the areas that we need to focus on. I think we did really well at offensive line this year. Really excited about the group we got coming in. And then, you know, I think our skill levels, we got a lot of guys that will be able to compete early in their career. And we try to really focus on, just overall speed. Again, a little bit of length. In this class, and pretty excited. I think this will be a really good class.
Because MSU has a non-scholarship program, Tenure can't announce the team signees until they actually enroll in school. He's hoping his crop of recruits will help the Eagles improve on 2017's 4-7 record this upcoming season. For the Cincinnati Bengals, the price is finally right. First-round draft pick, former Ohio State center Billy Price, is tweeting that he's been cleared for all activities on the football field after being limited for a few months by a torn pectoral muscle. He was hurt during the NFL Combine. Price can now fully participate in drills, meaning he can continue to acclimate himself to the Bengals' offensive system.
At Ohio State, we did a lot of spread, a lot of just throwing the ball around. Here, we're focusing a lot of wide zone. So the technique aspect of it, I just got to continue to get better at that and really just embrace it and really, you know, be the true professional that I'm trying to be and make sure that you stay healthy, enjoy the process, and it's going to be a long season.
Price is expected to step right in and start at center for the Bengals this season. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari wants the NCAA's game officials to make block charge calls like the NBA does. The league's refs have the option of using replay to determine if defenders are guilty of hindering an opponent with the ball or if a player possessing it tried to force his way through his defender. Calipari believes using technology in certain situations to help make that determination is a good idea.
If you can go back and look on tape and it's, quote, obvious that he moved, I'm good with it because you get the right call. Well, what if you won? It's what is the right call? So if you go back to the monitor, only because the guy stepped out, that's why they went. But as they go back to the monitor, then you can change the call, which I was like, what? I'm like, I'm all for that. I'll vote for that.
Calipari is urging the NCAA to consider moving the NBA style to using replay to make certain that block charge calls are correct. Some notes from the NBA, a Turkish court has accepted an indictment charging the father of former Kentucky player Enes Kanter with membership in a terror group. The Atlanta Hawks are reportedly looking to trade point guard Dennis Schroeder ahead of Thursday's draft. They have the number 3 pick on Thursday. And Cleveland.com is reporting the Cavaliers are attempting to trade for Charlotte All-Star point guard Kemba Walker in an attempt to persuade LeBron James to re-sign with them. Finally in sports, a Western Kentucky University coach is dead following a bicycling accident. Haley Hansen reports on that.
WKU head golf coach Philip Hatchett was biking with the group just west of Russellville on Sunday morning. 27-year-old Robert Stokes saw the group but was unable to switch lanes before hitting Hatchett's bike with his car. Hatchett was killed and 3 others were injured in the accident. In a statement, WKU's athletic director says Hatchett was, quote, a kind soul, liked and respected by all, and someone who cared deeply for his players. The 55-year-old had coached the Hilltoppers golf team since 2010. I'm Haley Hansen.
And that's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. More information by calling the Women's Basketball Office at 783-5137 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after President Trump's latest threat to China increased fears of an impending trade war between the world's largest economies. And the Dow Industrials did show a loss of 287.26 or 1.15% at 24,700.21. The broader market not as weak. The S&P 500 was down 11.18 or 0.4% at 2762.57. And the NASDAQ Composite showed a loss of 21.44 or about 0.25% at 7725.58. You had a variety of stocks today that were weak that do have exposure to China, and shares of some of the biggest chip makers fell given their large exposure to China. Qualcomm and NVIDIA both dropped about 1%, and semiconductor and semiconductor equipment companies have a revenue exposure of just over 50% to China, according to a recent brokerage report. Ford Motor, which also does a large amount of business in China, saw its stock pull back almost 1%. Caterpillar and Boeing, which are both considered to be bellwethers for trade tensions on Wall Street, dropped over 3%. Shares of railroads and package shippers dropped on fears a trade war would slow the economy and reduce the amount of imported goods for them to ship around the country. FedEx and J.B. Hunt both dropped more than 1.5%, while CSX lost almost 2%. Commodities fell sharply as soybean futures reached their lowest levels in more than 2 years, and other commodities were weak as well, with oil down 1.2% at $65.09 a barrel, and gold was down 0.2% at $1,277.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak today, with the Stock 600 index down 0.7%, and in Asia, stocks sold off very sharply, with the Nikkei down 1.75% and the Shanghai Composite down almost 4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Verizon and Johnson & Johnson, while the worst performers were Boeing and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Assurant and CVS, while the worst performers were MGM and Xylem. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 9 cents at 78.44, CSX down $1.28 at 64.83, Marathon Petroleum down 31 cents at 74.48, AEP up $1.40 at 66.86, AK Steel down 9 cents at 4.63, and Community Trust Bank was up 60 cents to finish at 51.35. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from MSPR's Chuck Mraz, Chaz Jenkins, Jacob Lindberg, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Braxton Howard, and Tilden Johnson, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment came from WMKY's own Leanne Akers. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Logan Pemberton for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.